ignited by the truth. John and this family, or this church, they're bound together. They're linked. They may not be related by flesh and blood, but John can write to either this family or this church and says, I love you in the truth. And not just me, but everyone who knows the truth. There's a love that comes with it. They're bound together by that truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thing that is. Here's John, who's Jew, writing to some people we think live in Ephesus. That's what we thought with the other letter. And so they're probably Gentiles. But it doesn't matter. He says, we're united by the truth. We're brought together and we're bound together by it. And so it is for us, those of us who are real Christians. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter what language we speak. It doesn't matter what class we come from or what job we have or where we find ourselves in society. We're bound together, united by the truth, the same truth we've come to believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're united with people right around the world, and also we're united with people all the way back through history in a way too, aren't we? United with them, that bond that comes together through the truth. And John says, it's not just me, but everyone who knows the truth. Because there is one church. There is, in the end, one bride of Christ. The church that Jesus loved, and he came from heaven to down here to earth to die for our sins and rescue us and bring us together as one people that he saved. So first thing, we're united by the truth. Second thing, we're indwelt by the truth. Look down in verse 2. Where he says, I'm writing to you, verse 2, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. He talked about that we're indwelt by the truth. The truth abides in us. So John says, I'm writing because of the truth, and we're united because of the truth, and the truth abides in us. Abides is one of John's favourite words. It was also one of Jesus' favourite words, and John uses it of Jesus in his gospel, and he uses it again here in this letter. And the word just means sticks. The truth sticks with us, and we stick with the truth. The truth abides in us. It's in us. It's not just a truth we have here in the Bible that we sort of hold in our hands and say, there's the truth, and that's the truth that God's given us. But the truth then lives within us, in our hearts. As we come to believe in the Lord Jesus, as we come to receive that truth, we take it in, and it's there in our hearts. We know it, as John had in verse 1, and then we won't let it go. We stick to the truth. And we know as well that the truth through the Lord Jesus sticks with us as well. And as John says there in that verse 2, the truth which abides in us, and the lovely little phrase afterwards, and it will be with us forever. Isn't that an amazing encouragement? The truth never changes. The truth is with us forever. It doesn't matter whether you became a Christian when you were young, when you were a child, whether you became a Christian 10, 20 years ago, maybe even more, the truth doesn't change. And the truth is with us forever. And so even then, when times change and situations change, you may be at some point in your life in great need, in great ill health, or in some very difficult situation, maybe even a situation of life and death and everything's, you know, getting on top of you and so on, we can come back to that truth which is in us, and a truth that will be with us forever. A truth that doesn't change. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what an encouragement that is for us. As we read elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that truth about him lasts forever. John wrote this down, as we said, on a piece of papyrus 2,000 odd years ago. But the truth hasn't changed since then. We're indwelt by the truth, the unchanging truth of God's word. We've seen on our televisions and in our newspapers of the war that there is at the moment. And over the course of those 2,000 years since John wrote this, empires have come and gone. Countries that were once huge no longer exist. People have come and gone. Different governments, different philosophies. But John wrote down, the truth is with us forever. That truth of the Lord Jesus. Third thing, in verse 3, is that we're blessed by the truth. Verse 3, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. There's the next mention of that word, truth. And here we discover that we're blessed by the truth. He gives us these three words, that he wants this church, or he wants this lady that he's writing to know and to understand. Grace will be with you. And mercy will be with you. That's his prayer. That's his greeting, if you like, at the beginning of this letter. And peace. He wants these people he's writing to know that peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. He says, those will be with you. They come from the Father and from the Son. And those things will be with you today and the next day and in all the days to come, because it lasts forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you in truth and love. He finishes off the sentence. They come in truth and love. We're blessed by the truth, that truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he's done, his love towards us in dying on the cross to forgive our sins, to give us new life, to free us from death. The truth and love which is shown in the Lord Jesus Christ, through those things comes these blessings of the truth. That as we understand that message of the Lord Jesus, grace comes to us, and mercy, and peace. Those blessings come through the truth. There's grace, an undeserved gift. That's what the word means. That through learning about the truth of Jesus Christ, we discover God's undeserved gift. His grace in forgiving us. We also are given that blessing of mercy. Mercy is God not treating us as we deserve. We deserve to be punished because we've disobeyed. We deserve that because we've sinned against him. But God's mercy comes to us and is made known to us. He doesn't treat us as we deserve. And the third thing was peace. We're made right with God through that mercy and not treating us as we deserve, and grace in giving us an undeserved gift. Now we have peace with God. Now we've been forgiven. We were enemies with him. We hated him and he was angry with us. And that was the situation that existed before. And yet now through Jesus we've come to know peace. We're made right with Jesus. So John tells us that we're blessed by the truth. Grace, mercy, and peace have all come to us in truth and love through the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourth thing in verse 4, controlled by the truth. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found some of your children walking in truth as we received commandment from the Father. John knew some of these children. So maybe it's a lady, as we said, who had a family and children. And maybe the children were grown up now, and the children have moved. And so John has seen some of the children, and he writes to their mum. He writes to the lady, and says, I've seen some of your children walking in the truth. So it could be that. Or it could be just talking about a church. And I waste this the same sort of thing again, that there was this church that John's writing to, and some children from the church, some who have become Christians, some young Christians, have perhaps moved on to other places, and John's seen them walking in the truth, and so he writes back to that church. Either way, it doesn't matter. But the one thing that John is so happy about is he saw them walking in truth. John saw these children, they may have been young, they may have been young people. He may be just referring to that they're young Christians. So maybe they've not been Christians very long. But John says, I found them. I saw them walking in truth. I wonder what he saw. Wherever John was, wherever these people were, and he saw them. And he knew from the way they were behaving, there was something different about them. Maybe he got to know them, and maybe he got chatting to them in the marketplace or wherever it was. And he discovers about their lives. He discovers about the decisions they're making and the way they're living. And they're walking in truth. And John says, I rejoiced greatly. You could almost paraphrase, I was over the moon. I was so happy to see these children, these young Christians walking in truth. What a wonderful thing. And it's so exciting for John to see it. You see, the truth of Jesus Christ was affecting their day-to-day life. It wasn't just that they were Christians on a Sunday. It wasn't just that they had up there in their heads a belief in Jesus, that Jesus had forgiven their sins. It wasn't just that. Because when that is really true, it affects everything. It affects the day-to-day life. And John says, I saw it in them. I saw them walking in truth, living out their day-to-day activities. Maybe it was just little things. In the marketplace, they were being truthful and honest in their dealings. In their workplaces, they were the ones who were dependable. When they were around other people, John noticed that they weren't the ones who were gossiping, or swearing, or telling the rude jokes, or whatever it was. John saw them in their everyday interactions. He said, they're walking in truth. And I rejoice, because that showed them to be children of God. They were controlled by the truth. The truth had come to live in them, as we said already. It abided in them, and then it affected everything about them. And John is over the moon to see that. And he writes either to this church or to this lady and says, oh, it was wonderful to see them walking in truth. That's what we desire, isn't it? It's a good message to be looking at together with the children in with us, because that's what we long for the young people, isn't it? That they'd come to know the truth, that they'd come to know and love the Lord Jesus, and that they would walk in truth every day. And that all of us, young and old, would carry on in that truth, those blessings that come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and remembering that truth that doesn't change. We're going to pause and sing another hymn. It seems quite well to follow on from 1 John and picks up quite a lot of the themes that we've looked at in previous weeks as well. So here in there is remainder of those verses. We have a couple of last things to look at. Firstly, then, truth and love. John repeats something that, if you've been here on Sunday mornings recently, we've heard many times over these last couple of weeks, the commandment to love. That's what he says there in verse 4 and so on. Verse 5, he talks about the commandment we've had from the Father. Verse 5, not as though I wrote a new commandment, but one we've had from the beginning, that we should love one another. That's a little bit of a summary of what he talked about in his letter. And of course, it all echoes back to John's gospel. In John's gospel, especially around chapter sort of 13 and so on, Jesus says it. And Jesus is the one who introduces this, this theme of, and that's why we have this slightly muddly language between this old and new commandment, because Jesus links the two. He says there is this old commandment. It was there, old, in the Old Testament, to love one another. So it's an old commandment. Jesus then said, but I'll make it a new commandment by adding one little bit. But it's not a little bit at all. He says, you should love one another as I have loved you. And so Jesus takes an old commandment and makes it a new commandment. Because he changes it, doesn't he? He blows it out of all proportion, we might say. Because before you might say, you should love one another, we can sort of put a figure on that, can't we? We can put an amount on that, how much we should love someone else. But then when Jesus says, you should love one another as I've loved you, well, that just increases the scale, doesn't it? We can no longer say, oh, I can give someone this little bit of love and that will do the job. When we think about how much love we've received from the Lord Jesus, this is love, John says in his first letter, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to forgive our sins. That's love. That's the scale of love. And here we have this commandment that Jesus said to love one another as I have loved you. So it's an old, new commandment that Jesus has altered slightly to just give us a better insight of what it means to love one another, to obey his commandments. So Jesus said it in John's gospel. John repeats it in his letter. And we've looked at that over the last few weeks. And in the next letter, John pleads it. Interesting sort of change of phrase, verse 5. I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment, but one commandment we've had from the beginning, that we love one another. I say it has a lot of echoes to 1 John. So John may be writing to a church. It may be in Ephesus. It may be there were lots of other churches in the area around. So he could be writing to a church. He could be writing to an individual, this lady. He could be writing to her and her family, the children that he mentions. But he says, I plead with you to love. And so here's the ever so repetitive John. He's told us so many times, I don't think we could count how many times he's told us to love one another. This time he changes it. I plead with you to love one another. I'll tell you one more time, just once more. What was it that he had to plead about? He doesn't say exactly. And did he write the letter of 1 John to the area around Ephesus and then heard about one church where things were a bit of a mess, where there was fighting, where there was argument, where there was disunity? Maybe. Maybe he's writing to a lady. And there's so many good things he mentions, but he says, I want to plead with you about this. Maybe he wrote to that individual. Maybe he was writing to that family. And saying, there's one thing though, your children are walking in truth, there's lots of great things going on, but I want to plead with you again about this commandment to love. And so we need to hear John's instruction one last time, don't we? Even if we've heard it many times before. Would John plead with us? Are there some things in our church? Are there some things in our families? Are there some things with us as individuals that John would say, I plead with you to love one another? Is there some things that still need putting right? When we haven't quite got the message we've heard 100 times before? There's something in our situations, in our relationships, someone we haven't forgiven, someone we bear a grudge for, someone really annoys us and we struggle to get along. Whatever it is, John pleads one more time to love one another. And we need to hear that too, don't we? Second thing, truth and lies. First one was truth and love. Second one, truth and lies. Again, it echoes a lot of the other letter, 1 John, verse 7, many deceivers have gone out into the world. The word literally is many wanderers have gone. Many wanderers have gone. And they've wandered from the truth. In verse 9, he says, whoever transgresses, but you might notice down in your notes at the bottom, it may say as well, whoever goes ahead or goes astray. And that seems to be the idea he's got more in mind here, this idea of wandering. He talked about the children who are walking in truth. Here's something completely different. Here are these deceivers who've gone out and they've wandered from the truth. And he writes a warning. Again, it's a bit of a repeat because he's done it already in 1 John. But maybe there was something specific going on here. And he writes to them again. There's so many wanderers who've gone out. They left the truth. Maybe they said they understood it, but then they've abandoned it completely. He mentions this one thing, especially in verse 7. They do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. That was probably one of the things that was going on in their situation. It kind of fits with what we know of their sort of Greek culture. That this idea that perhaps we'll talk about, oh, there's Jesus and he was just sort of a spiritual force. And Jesus just came here like some sort of angel, like some sort of mystical being who came here to earth for a bit. And then he'd gone. But John says, no. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He was really real. And it all kind of links back to his gospel. We saw him. We were eyewitnesses of all these things he did. It might be why back in verse 3, he sort of spells it out, that grace, mercy and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Almost a little bit overkill in your terms there. But John's trying to point it out. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, the ruler, the King, Jesus, the human being, Christ, God's chosen one. Who's the Son of the Father. He's divine. He's God himself. He's the Son of God. John spells it out. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, the Son of God. He came in flesh. And anyone who undermines that, don't listen to it. Don't listen to a word of it. They're trying to lead people astray. They're trying to go off in all different kind of ways. They're deceivers. They're antichrist. They're going against Jesus. And so it is. It's still quite popular around at the minute. People talk about, I just wanted to have some sort of spirituality and just some sort of experience of God. And, talk in these kind of mystical ways. But John says, no. Here's an eyewitness account of the real Jesus, the Son of God, who is a human being. And we saw him. And John writes in some of those last verses, verse 10, if anyone comes to you and doesn't bring this doctrine, this true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then have nothing to do with them. Do not receive them into your house or greet them or your share in their evil deeds. And it's funny, isn't it, in this letter that seems to repeat this command to love, that John here says something that sounds quite unkind, doesn't it? John says, if anyone comes through that church or to this house where this person lived, and they come with this false teaching, John says, shut the door. Which sounds quite unkind. But it is what Jesus said as well in his gospel. Jesus talked of the false teachers being like wolves. It sounds nice to be kind to wolves, but not if they're eating your sheep. Doesn't it? And so it might sound, we should be kind to everyone. But here John is saying, don't be kind to the false teachers. Because they're going to kill the sheep. Don't let the wolf into church. Don't let the false teacher in, because it will bring disaster. And so it sounds harsh, but actually it's a very loving thing to do to try and protect God's people, isn't it? It's the truth and lies that matter here. As we're singing in that hymn, we have the belt of truth to confront the devil's lies. And so it is. Maybe John had to write this letter because he heard some worrying things. And he heard about this church where perhaps they'd been too loving and they'd welcomed in some false teachers. Or maybe it was a lady and she was being very kind, it seemed, and showing hospitality to a false teacher. It might be literally that that's happening. And John has to write this letter very quickly, this short one. He says, I'll be there soon, but I really needed to send this. Because don't have anything to do with those false teachers. Don't touch them with a barge pole. Because they're dangerous. There's the truth and lies. Last thing, truth and growth Last verse, well, last two. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do it with papyrus and black, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Again, he may be referring to a family he knows, the children he might have met, or a church he's with. Anyway, he sends their greetings at the end. But John here talks of how we grow in the truth. John wrote this little letter, probably on a one sheet of papyrus, and wrote it down and posted it off to these people. And John wrote it down. It was the word of God. And he wrote it down so that they might learn. There were some essential things. He just had to fire off this quick letter. They needed to learn this. It was important. But John also says, I want to come and I want to teach face to face. And John says, I'm really looking forward to it. And our joy may be full. I want to come. I want to see you. I want to teach face to face. But both ways, there's more to learn, isn't there? We need to grow in the truth. We never have enough truth and say, that's it, I know enough now. We should be like those plants that are planted deep in God's word. Think of a plant that needs more and more water and water and more sunshine and so on. If we're Christians planted in God's word, we need more and more of truth. We need to learn it from God's word. We're so glad that John wrote it down. And the others, we've got it here for us. We need God's word there in front of us. And we need face to face. We need to teach it. We need to encourage each other in it. We need to talk about it, pray about it. We might have fullness of joy growing in the truth. So there's this little letter of John, the letter to John. Truth matters. And as we learn of it, hopefully we'll be those who are inspired to keep coming back to God's word, to learn more of him and more of the Lord Jesus, to learn to love, to grow, to learn to fight sometimes against lies and error, and that we might receive those blessings that we were talking of earlier, that we might be helped to walk in the truth, following Jesus, that truth that will be with us forever.